Yeah, it's the moral compass of the world. It should be. It's how we relate to each other, isn't it? Number five, honor your parents. Six, don't murder. Seven, don't commit adultery. Eight, don't steal. Nine, don't lie. 10, don't covet. I'm going to tell you a few things tonight that you probably did or did not know, that the Ten Commandments are also referred to as a Decalogue. Did y'all know that? Did you know that? Brad's going, I did. It's called a Decalogue. The Hebrew title of the Ten Commandments is what they call it. And it actually is translated to mean in Hebrew, the ten words. The ten words. You know, these commandments were first given to who? Noah? Moses, that's right. And he was given to him on Mount Sinai. And you know, it had only been 50 days since they had just gotten across the river. Only 50 days since they left Egypt did God give him the Ten Commandments. And God wrote them on there on stone tablets. And we, like I said, we don't know how many, whether there was two tablets or one big one. The scripture doesn't really say. The movies show two, you know, because it's more dramatic. Charlton Heston looked dramatic. I mean, he just looked, whoa, the Ten Commandments. He had one in each hand. And, but how many sets were there made? Two. What happened to the first one? Moses got, he was upset because they were having a party down there when he came down off of the mountain. He'd been spent all this time with God, and they had made a golden calf and was worshiping and dancing around this golden calf, and he destroyed the first set. So God had to make another set. What happened to that set? It was put in the Ark of the Covenant. Boy, wouldn't you like to be able to see those today, to know what actually happened to them? We have no knowledge of what happened to that second set. We know what happened to the first, but that second set, that second tablet that was made of the Ten Commandments, we have no idea, because they had been conquered so many times. Over the years, they had turned their back on God so many times that there's no telling what happened to them. Oh, you say, yeah, boy, yeah, look what happened. They got all their insides sucked out and they became a skeleton. Yeah, that's bad stuff. Well, that's interesting to watch, but, you know... You know, it was at least a death penalty to touch it. Because when David tried to move it, he didn't use the Levites like God had commanded him to do, to move it from place to place. He just had some of his folks do it, and they had it on a cart, and the cart just kind of tilted, and it started sliding off. And the guy reached up to touch it just to balance it, to keep it from hitting the ground. And guess what? He got planted in the ground because he died right there. God's anger was put on that one man. But God was not just mad at him. He was mad at David, too. He was mad at everybody because they were not following his instructions for handling the Ark of the Covenant, you know. That made David pretty scared. He was scared to move it. He really did. And then he got to reading about what do we really need to be doing? He went back to God's law, and it says, only the Levites can do that. You cannot do that. So that's how he moved it. The next time he did it right and put it in a tent like it was supposed to. The Ten Commandments are mentioned... Anybody have an idea how many times it's mentioned in the New Testament? Five times it's mentioned in the New Testament. Do you think the Ten Commandments are still useful today in our society? I mean, we are modern. You know, we're a big nation. Do we really need the Ten Commandments? We do. Then why are they getting away from them? Why is our world getting away from the Ten Commandments? Why is our government taking and getting rid of every statue and every form and every copy of it that's in any building and getting it out? It's the devil. What were you going to say, Jeff? Yeah, oh yeah, that's, you're right. People think that because we are under the new law of the New Testament, since Christ was born, that we no longer have to pay attention or obey the Ten Commandments. Then why did Jesus? Answer me that. Why did Jesus say it was important? No. No, he added to, not took away from. He didn't say, when I die. He said, you know, you say don't murder. I say that if you think anger against another man or another person, you have committed murder already. He expounded on it. He made it bigger. He did not take away from. The first one we're going to look at is, you shall have no other gods before me. Or like we reworded it to the point that don't place anything before God. In the Life Application Commentary, it says this: the Israelites had just come from Egypt, a land of many idols and many gods. Because each god represented a different aspect of life, it was common to worship many gods in order to get the maximum number of blessings. So they had a rain god and a ham god. I don't know. I'm just food gods, you know. A harvest god, you know, a moon god and a sun god and a rain god and a whatever. Drought god, maybe, I don't know. But when God told his people to worship and believe in him, that wasn't so hard for them. He was just one more god to add to the list. But when he said, you must not have any other god but me, that's when it got difficult. That's when the people started having trouble trying to accept it and understand it. But if they didn't learn that God who led them out of Egypt was the only true God, they could not be his people, no matter how faithfully they kept the other nine commandments. Thus God made this his first commandment. Today we can allow many things to become gods to us. Y'all want to try to think of it, what one of them might be? Money is the number one thing listed. Money has become our God in America and in the world. Not just in America, but in the world. Fame. Oh my gosh. To be an important person. To be the best. To be the best actor, to be the best cowboy, the best rodeo guy, best hand, the best at everything. At work. Work can be our God. Pleasure can become gods when we concentrate too much on them for personal identity, meaning, and security. Let me say that again. When we concentrate too much on them for personal identity. Really, that's what it's about, y'all. Meaning and security. Who is saying, when you rely on them to say who you are as a person? No one sets out with the intention of worshiping these things, but the amount of time we devote to them, they can grow into gods that ultimately control our thoughts and energies. Letting God hold the central place in our lives keeps these things from turning into gods. What is it that you have, what have you placed before God in the past? I want you to think about it in a minute. Something that you put before God, before going to church on Sunday, before serving God, what could you have put? Football? Family? Work? Jeff? Do what? Just think about things that you had in your life that you put, that you had made more important than God. That was your God. At one time, mine was fishing. I let that do a lot in my life. Fishing and hunting, that's all I could think about. I mean, it's, you know, I never really, well, that's a lie. I started to say I never really missed church, but Claudia could tell you I probably did, especially if I was fishing a tournament or something. You know, I'd always had excuse, but I don't have any, it's the only excuse I got. That tournament, it just runs Saturday and Sunday. So I had to miss church that day. But I put that before my service to the Lord. It could be, you could say, well, it's just football. I just love football so much. I can't bother with, you know, coming to church on Sunday and serving the Lord because it's that important to me. It could be any kind of sport. It could be anything in your life. It could even be a family member. Yeah. It could be your spouse, a parent, an invalid parent. It could be your children, a brother or a sister. It's any number of things. Another question that's asked is, what are you placing before Him now? Now that you know, not what's in the past, we're talking about today. Today, now that this has been revealed to you, what can you can put things before God and it becomes your God. What are you doing today? What have you put in front of God and you're using as a God today before Him? And do you plan to do anything about it? You know, we learn all kinds of stuff of things we're to do, not to do, and we kind of filter them out a lot of times and we go, how can I get through this and still do what I want to do? Don't we? I mean, just be honest with ourselves. We look at God's Word and we go, how can I put the least amount of effort and time into this where it doesn't dig into what I really want to do and what's really important to me? Do you think you could put cows before God? Yeah, you could. Horses. That's the one thing that God said, that you worship things that I created. That I created. You didn't have a thing to do with it. I created that and you're worshiping that. That's blasphemy, y'all. That is a big, big no-no to God. He said, you're worshiping something that I created. Even if it's Satan. He created Satan. So it's a double whammy. I don't know if it's a double sin or sin, but you know, it's double bad to me if you're not believing in God and you're believing in Satan and then you're worshiping him. It's almost like, oh, but it's really just one. If you're not planning on doing anything about it, why not? Or why would you in the first place? But why not would be the question that God said, I've revealed this to you. I've shown you that you can do this. And it's important enough to me to make this the number one thing on the list that he wrote down with his own hand. Why not? What do you plan to do? Any questions about the first one? Any comments? It is easy. It is so easy to fall into that trap. What causes us to do that? Satan. Lack of focus. Taking our eyes off. It's lack of focus. If you're not in the Word every day, if you're not praying regularly every day, if you're not spending time with the Lord every day, if you're just doing it when you get the chance to or when it's convenient, guess what? Satan is going to work just as hard on that inconvenient time or the convenient time to make sure that you don't. And he's going to put something that is so, oh my goodness, it is so appealing to us. It's what we love to do. It's what we love to experience. It's something that it is almost like DNA. It's almost inside us. It's that important to us that we get to do it. But when God reveals it and says, look, I'm shining light on this, what are you going to do about it? Now that you know whether you are or you aren't doing something wrong. Exactly. Yeah. I tell you though, but the closer that you become to God, the less you notice it. The closer you get to God, the stronger you are, and he has to work doubly hard to find the next. Once you conquer, once the Lord helps you conquer something in your life that you've struggled with for years, when you get victory over that, do you think that Satan is done? He goes, well, shoot. He's got me whooped. You know? I guess I'm just going to have to find somebody else. No. He didn't even do that to Jesus. He tried every angle he could find to get Jesus to sin. Every angle. Even not worshiping God and him being the only God. He said, if you'll bow down and worship me, look at what I'm going to give you. And he spread out the world in front of him. Any other comments? Y'all probably have this nailed down and y'all don't have this problem like I do, right? Y'all, this is probably the one that y'all can say, I'm good. Like that rich young ruler that came to Jesus and said, man, I want to be with you. He says, I've kept the Ten Commandments to the nth degree all of my life. And I want to be one of your followers. Yeah. I'm tired. Yeah. You know, I'm just been going and going and going. And Lord, you know, I've only had 3 hours of sleep. I've done this. I've only had 3 hours of sleep. And I'm probably going to go to sleep. Right when that important part that I'm supposed to hear, so I might as well not even go. I probably better serve if I worship at home. In front of, in front of the TV. How many of you tried to pray or with the TV on or read your Bible with the TV? Oh, man. It don't work. I tell you, I finally just have to click it off because I get sucked in. It's like this giant vacuum cleaner on that TV, and you're trying to focus, and it's just like, your eyes just, you know, you're, oh, yeah, I was right here doing this. And you're, before long, you're half reading and half watching. But that's how we put things before God. And it's not, I'm not talking about just coming to church. I'm talking about when it's in your daily life, every single day, and we put things before God. When God says, I want you to do this, and you go, Lord, I ain't got time for that. Shoo-wee. I can't go visit that person. He's telling you, I need you to go visit. This guy is lost. I need you to go talk to him. Well, we're so into ourselves, we don't even hear him when he's asking us to do something half the time. We are so focused on this little bubble we got called me. And we don't want nobody to violate our bubble, do we? We don't want people to really come in to our bubble and upset our little, what we got going on. It's so little of what we get to be happy about anyway, isn't it? So we really don't, what we got left, we sure don't want nobody jacking with it and trying to take any more of our time. And then God comes along and goes, Lynn, I need you to do something. Well, I don't have time for that, Lord. I've got to go down to the church. I've got to do this. I've got this meeting. I've got that. I've got to do all this. I really don't have time. Nobody, and when I say nobody, is excused from this sin. Everybody, it touches everybody in every single way you can imagine. That's why you have to focus and make God the priority in your life. If you make Him the priority in your life, He's number one. Guess what? He said, what did Jesus say? Y'all remember what Jesus said? If you do such and such, all these things will be added to you, unto you. What does He say? If you follow me, if you just make me number one, is all He's really saying. All these things will be added to you. All these things that you want, that you think you've got everything that you need, you make me first in your life. First. And everything else is going to work out. All your needs be met, and you'll be blessed. The second command that He had is viewed as the commandment about worship for God. It says, you shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth. That's what I was talking about this morning, about something He created. Above or out, in the earth, beneath the earth, or in the waters below, you shall not bow down to them or worship them. This is one I've been struggling with just this past week. It was something that, and I never thought of it until I went through this Bible study. And fishermen and hunters like to do a certain thing when they kill something. What is it? They want to stuff it. They want to mount it. Why do they do that? It's a trophy because they want to remember that event. They want to remember that fish. Or they want to remember that buck that they killed or the snake that they skinned that they killed and it stretched out and they tanned it and all this. You know, and something, as I was praying and asking God to reveal to me anything that was between me and Him, this is what came to my mind. I've got a I've got a almost 10-pound bass mounted. It's 9'2", sitting on the wall. And on the other side, I've got a 8-something. One of my first big fish I caught when I was real young. And I got a big buck in the middle. And I'm sitting there going, well, I don't worship these things. Do I? I'm sure proud of them when people come in. They go, oh, man, that's the biggest bass I ever saw. Gee whiz. And since then, I've caught one bigger than that. But I don't know if you know about fishing, but it's hard to bust the 10-pound mark, or it was. It's getting easier nowadays, but back when I first started, if you caught a 10-pound bass, you got it. I mean, you was like a Hollywood star. I mean, you were in all the magazines, and everybody wanted to talk to you, and they wanted to do an article on you, how you caught that fish. Nowadays, it's like everybody, not everybody, but a lot of people. Well, it took me all my life to catch a 10-pounder, and I did it just a year ago. But something in me, it didn't matter anymore. I thought, I just took her and took a picture of her, and I just let her back down in the water. And you'd think someone like me would go, there is no way in God's green earth am I not going to take that sucker and I'm going to mount it so everybody can know that I caught this giant fish. But it wasn't important, and I let it go. Even the guy I was fishing with, he goes, you're going to let it go? I said, yeah, I am. And off she was gone. I said, if I had to, I can do a plastic one. That's what they're doing nowadays. They're letting them live, and they're making them out of plastic and fiberglass. But I just didn't. Yeah, singing, well, yeah, the bubble bass, But what? So in mine, it's something that I'm still dealing with. I don't have an answer yet. Not yet. But God is working with me on that. Now, I'm not saying that that's concerning you, but it's something that God is talking to me about. And I'm trying to figure out if I'm worshiping these things hanging on the wall, if just the fact that they're there, is it causing me to sin? I don't know. But I'll tell you what, before it's all over with, I will know, because I know God will reveal it to me. What do y'all think? Do you think it is? Some say no, some say impossibility. I don't have a clue. Was I proud of those things? Oh, I would be lying and dying if I didn't say I was, because it was the biggest one I'd ever caught, and none of my buddies had caught one that big, so I had bragging rights. I did, and boy, we let each other have it. The latest and the greatest thing that you had done. The Hebrew word used for idol is pesel, P-E-S-E-L. Then this is the part that it gets sticky. It refers to something that is carved, generally from wood or stone. It seems that the Hebrews thought that you could get around this command simply by casting their idols from different kinds of metals instead of carving them from wood or stone. But, however, this was forbidden by God, too.
Now, this commandment here has been, to say the least, a sticking point in my arm. this commandment is basically going against the whole commandment. And to do that, to me, is a sin. So how does that relate to the graven images of, like, the, and I know there are Catholics, I'm sorry, to the Catholic Church and the images that they pray to and they make of the saints of heaven?
Well, what do y'all think? That's it. Yeah. That, mm-hmm. Well, are they worshiping those things?
Well, I'm not Catholic, but I was raised right a lot of Catholics.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's exactly the way it is. That's not, that's, they have intercessors. That's why the priest is there. The priest. Well, you could say that they are praying to Mary, who was created by God. Are they worshiping Mary? I don't know, but they're praying to her, asking her to intervene, to speak for them to God, because they believe that she has their ear. Same thing with St. Timothy, St. Peter, St. Andrew. They all pray to each one of these entities, and they usually have a something that they can see, like a statue of Andrew or of Mary, the mother of Jesus. That's a good question. Is it only in the heart would you know? I can't do it, but for me, it would be. For me, because I know what the Scripture says, for me, I could not do that. I could not pray to Mary to talk to the Father. Huh? That's, you know, and the Holy Spirit is my conduit. He is the one who, when I pray to God, He takes my prayer straight to the throne. That's what I believe. Now, whether they're doing anything wrong, that's exactly why there's different, you know, different denominations. You know, that's for them to answer to God to. I don't know what their heart, in their heart, what they're doing when they pray to these things. I know what you're talking about. You're just saying, who's right? Are they right or are we right? As long as they're doing that, I would say yes. But I have to tell you what the Scripture says. The Scripture says, do not form any idols and worship to them. So if they are worshiping, go ahead. Well, that's another thing. There's really only one Father, he says, and that's me. You know, I don't know why they do the things that they do. It's part of their culture. It's part of their religion, if you want to call it that, their denomination, their tradition that they do. But we are what you would call the Reformed. We have been reformed to believe the way that we teach now due to the Reformation. And that's the reason that we are saying, there are guys that ask these questions, Martin Luther, all these guys ask these same questions, and they got killed for it. I mean, they did. They gave their life to reform the church. And That's not, I'm not here really to talk really about the Catholics. I'm not here to talk about other, I mean, we're getting into this, and I know you got these questions, but the best way I can tell you is I don't see their heart. All I can tell you what the Word says. And if you're worshiping that thing, if you are relying on that for your salvation or for it to do something for you, you know, I have to say it's wrong. It's just, Brad. Yeah. Maybe, but do you pray to the cross? We don't as believers here, we don't pray to the cross. The cross is a symbol. If they are looking at that thing as a symbol like the cross and they're not praying to that device, whatever it is, I'm not calling it an idol, but that statue, whatever it is, if they are using it and praying to it like it has power. What does the Bible say here? No idols. I'm just telling you what it says. I'm not condemning them. I'm telling you what you need to do to be right with God. This is what we do. No idols of any kind. That's why I was telling you I was having an issue. Do I pray to my fish? No. Do I pray to that foam, whatever it is, buck that's got hair stretched over it? No. But if I read about, if I look real close, am I saying that that is something that I have put before the Lord or not? That's the issue in my heart. I'm not asking you. I really, be honest, I don't know, care what you think about it. I love you, and I'd like to know what you did, but really I'm more concerned what God is telling me that I need to do, or because He's the one that I have to please. He's the one that when I was praying, I don't know why, that just came into my mind when I got to this part, and it was just instantaneous. I went, oh, Lord, is that something that I need to be worrying about? Is that something I need to do something about? Because if it is, it's easily fixable. It is. It's called a dumpster. I wouldn't give them away because they didn't catch them. I caught them. There you go, the pride thing. Here we go. Now, that's sin right there, I guarantee you. Okay. It says, God is so holy and divinely unique that there is nothing in all creation that could remotely come close to capturing His greatness in the form of an idol. Our God is a jealous God. He has told that many times. I am jealous. Woo, y'all. Has your wife ever been jealous or your husband ever been jealous and felt the wrath of that person? Maybe it was a girlfriend. Maybe it was a boyfriend. You've seen jealousy at the most minute, the smallest speck of jealousy, what can cause a problem. If you see it from God's perspective, when He gets jealous, Lordy mercy, people die. I mean, it's a serious offense. God therefore forbids His followers from attempting to make idols for that purpose or any other, because He is a jealous God, and those who worship Him must worship Him alone. He does not want us to worship a statue, a picture, or anything else that represents him. He desires, his desire is that we would worship him. Why do you think he says that? Why do you think that we should not worship a picture? I'll tell you, I've got something on my phone that I have to confess. I have a picture of Jesus. It's a picture that this little girl overseas, she died, and when she came back to life, she drew a painting of a picture of Jesus, what he looked like, his face. And there was a preacher that his son, y'all probably saw the movie like I did, and his son died and went to heaven, and he met Jesus, and when they brought him back, Jesus said, "It's not your time." He sent him back, and he saw that picture on his dad's computer, and he goes, "That's him. That's who I talked to." And he said, "Well, who is that?" He said, "Well, you mean that?" I mean, he got so excited. "You mean that's Jesus? That's what he looks like?" And the end of the movie, he's chasing him out into the backyard, you know. And I have a picture. I took a picture of it on the TV, and you would not believe this, but there was nothing on the screen. But every time I tried to take a picture of it, it made this weird light thing on the... Claudia, I tell you, I've got two things of it, and both of them were distorted. And after reading this, I'm not even going to show it to you. I'm just going to get rid of it, you know, because I don't want him to think that I'm worshiping even a picture of Jesus, you see, because I look at it every once in a while. I do. I'll be sitting there, I'll be going through the picture of the grandkids, and I'll see that, and I'll make it big, and I'll just look at it, you know. So, anything that represents him, that would be the question. Does the devices that they pray to, are they representing him, or are they representing someone else? See, that's where it hits the road right there. That's why we should not judge lest we be judged. That's his call. That's for him to convict them if they're doing something wrong. This is the word. I'm telling you the word. What he says, "I cannot convict you. Only God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, can convict you of something that you're doing wrong." And you know what it is. I don't have to tell you what it is. You already know something that you may be putting before God. Not nothing I've said, but you know in your heart, because the Holy Spirit has the job of convicting you and letting and bringing light to something that is and that we keep in the dark. Jeff. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what I'll do. This I will say. If you get away from everybody, get away from all noises, get by yourself, get in your closet. I'm talking about and that's just representing the place where you pray to the Lord. It might be a physical closet. It might be your truck. I don't know. In the Bible, they said a closet. Well, that was represented the hood the shawl that they put over their head, and they got in their little space, and where they were praying, that was their closet right there. We call a closet. That's where we put our clothes. But, you know, and a lot of people do pray in their closet. But wherever you pray by yourself, ask God, tell him what you're thinking, and ask Him to reveal to you what you should do. Let Him tell you, not me. On something like that. Fair enough? I mean, that, believe me, He'll tell you. Be careful. I mean, you got to really be, when you start praying to God, be careful what you pray. Well, then just go ahead. Oh, I didn't say that out loud, did I? Oh, my gosh. Lord, help me. He didn't like you anyway. Okay. Never has. Have you ever had a person or a thing in your life that you worshiped as an idol? Think about. Think back. All the way from when you was a little kid and you knew the difference between right and wrong. Maybe you idolized your dad. Oh, or your mom. Maybe you idolized some movie star. I don't know. Think back. Have you ever put someone that you worship as an idol that you put before God? Or you thought so highly of them that you wanted to be them? Huh? Okay, now that's a different scenario, isn't it? You would like to have their life. You would like to be them. If anybody hadn't done that, raise your hand. I can't raise my hand because I've done it too. The time, I know it's, I got 7 minutes. Got seven whole minutes. I got to get it in there. Okay. A role model? Are you, well, it depends on what you're calling a role model, or are you worshiping them and you want to be them? You put that, you're willingly putting that person before God. That's the question you have to think about. Do you have anything today in your life that you would consider, would be considered such an idol? And what do you plan to do about it? See, that's the part I'm wrestling personally with my fishes in my butt. That's something that's just between me and God. I shared it with y'all, but it's something that I have to deal with. I don't even know. It may be irrelative, and y'all may think that's the silliest thing I've ever heard. But I'm telling you, when I'm praying and I'm in that moment and I'm saying, Lord, is there anything that is between you and me? And it's just like this draw, this magnet, my eyes just roll around. I'm going, well, that, and I start immediately making excuses. No, I don't pray to that, Lord. I don't do that. Yeah, I know. I will, but that doesn't mean that it is for you. It just means that maybe in my subconscious somewhere, in my mind, I have let that become more important, or I have in the past made that more important than God. Now that part I can probably, never mind, go ahead. We have a cross wall here. It's just like that. Hallway is just lined with crosses. We have a cross here. No. Not if you're not praying to that device, that thing, whatever. Your buckles? Trophy saddles. Oh, Lord, have mercy. What a meddler. I know. I know, and I don't think I hadn't already thought about it. Don't think I had, because I've wanted to win a rope and buckle for a long time, and I just have not wanted to put the effort into it to get it done. I know what it takes to do it, but I guess I'm just lazy, you know. And I've won money, but I never got the or the saddle that you not worship them. If you put, well, you'll know because he will reveal it to you. He'll reveal it to you if you're putting it before him. If that's more important, go ahead, Brad. Yes. That would be. Yeah. I know. I got trophies. I got fishing trophies that I used to set out that are only God knows where they are. Where are they, babe? In the closet. So I didn't know. Anyway, they're hidden somewhere, packed away or something, you know. But I mean, yeah. I mean, and I liked when I first got it. It's kind of like anything else. When you first get it, it's like you look at it a lot. You go, you know, and you kind of swell up a little bit. Don't look at me like I'm crazy. You know what I'm talking about. You kind of get a little, you're kind of puffy. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, it just depends, you know. I mean, it's how you look at things, and that's between you and the Lord. That's why I said you need to spend time with the Lord and ask the Lord, am I making this a priority over you? You know, God does give you gifts. He does give each of us gifts. He does give each one of us talents. And he expects us to use them. And if are you using them to God's glory, though? Are you doing it to make yourself famous? See, there's a big difference. Are you doing it to glorify God so you can give him the credit and say, look, I won this saddle, and it's all due to what the Lord did. The Lord helped me win this saddle. That is a whole different thing than if you say, look what I did. Woo, and you're holding that big sucker, and you're just about to bust. You know, look what I did. Yeah, that part right there, that's called pride. What comes when you have pride? A fall, okay. Is the fact that the Bible describes God as being a jealous God surprising to anybody? Is it hard for you to understand? What do you really think it means when he says, I'm a jealous God? That's exactly right. He says, I'm not just a God. I am the God. I'm the only one out there, y'all. But all these things that you put before me, I get jealous about it. And that's why I'm telling you that if you think that you have put that before God, maybe God is telling me that I, at one time, I put that before Him. Now, that would be true. That would be true. Maybe now it's not, but I have to still deal with the fact, well, I need to do something about that or not. That's between me and God, and I'll handle it that way. You know, I'll tell you what I ended up doing, you know, and what God revealed to me. He may just say, never mind, just move on. Stupid. You know, you're just overthinking the thing. You know, and that may be exactly what He does. And then again, He may reveal and say, you bet. Chunk them. I'll let you know. It's after 8 o'clock. It's 8:03. Where are your children? Any more comments, Claudia? Pray for Sandra. You're going when? Thursday? Tomorrow morning. Well, that's Thursday. Yeah. I remember Thursday in my mind. Okay. And they're going in to check to see if everything's okie dokie in there, right? Right. Okay. Any other comments about this or questions? We've only gone through two of them. We still got 8 more to go. And a lot more to talk about. This is not something you go through fast. This is something that you take your time and you find out exact and you learn everything you can and get all your questions. I know you got things you're wanting to ask and you're probably holding back because you don't want to look silly or foolish or guilty. You know, but y'all, this is the time to ask, you know, just like the question about the trophy saddles. I didn't even think about that. I ride one, but I didn't win it. I bought it from my brother because it was the cheapest thing I could get and be a new saddle, you know, but I've had people ask me, well, did you win that? No, I didn't win it. I wished I had it, but I didn't, you know. But am I doing wrong by riding it? Oh, here we go again. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this time we come together that we can just, Father, we can ask questions. We can talk and have things revealed to us, Lord. Just thank you. Just thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit coming and speaking to our hearts and revealing things to us, making things known, putting light on things, Father, that had been in the dark so long, we probably forgot about it, Lord. And I just pray that you just help us to have nothing in our lives that is between you and us, Father. That we would be totally in worship, totally in tune, total unity with you. I just pray that for the whole fellowship, Lord, here at Common Ground, Lord. I pray this for Texas, I pray this for America, I pray it for the world, Lord, that you would be the only God that we worship and serve. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.